Today on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
We all joke about stripping to go through airport security, but now someone has actually done it. Details next in the travel news.
Also in the news, should John Denver have a mountain named after him in the Rockies? Some folks think so. What do you think?
The 9/11 Memorial is getting ready to open in Lower New York City next month. We have details.
Our look at cruising the high seas continues as we're joined by guests from Holland America Cruise Lines. Will take your phone calls and give away, yes, a $50 gas card to a lucky listener.
Finally, in our entertainment segment, an update on the state of the arts in Sacramento and information about the Floating Homes Tour in Sausalito.
All that and more today on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
And the show is on, ladies and gentlemen. Another fabulous Sunday afternoon. It's a little after 2. It means it's time for the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano, and here is the chief cook and bottle washer, as we call it. We got some dishes for you.
Called worse.
Yes, Mark Hoffman
recently.
From Sports Leisure Vacations. Good afternoon, Mark.
It's good to see you, sir.
Did you have a good week?
I did. How were you? I was in town all week long.
And
didn't
get
on an airplane for the entire week.
However, I traveled.
You went up to Hot August Nights.
I did the Hot August Nights broadcast on Monday and Tuesday for Classic 93.1, and it was great. We were in Tahoe on Monday at the Embassy Suites.
Cheap blatant plug. What time of the day does that program air?
That's 3 to 7 every Monday through Friday at 93.1.com if you can't hear it on your radio.
So how were Hot August Nights in Reno?
It was great. Well, first of all, it was started off in Tahoe. This is the second year in Tahoe.
Oh.
And we were at the Embassy Suites broadcast right there on State Line Boulevard. Cars cruising everywhere. Rock and roll, you know, America has
so
had a love affair with
the stupid travel guy. How did this move from Reno to Tahoe?
Those that put on Hot August Night have had such great success in Reno. Of course, it started at the Sparks Casino back in 86, and they decided to expand it over to Tahoe as well. You know, no reason really why not. And so they start there and do a couple of days, and then they head over to Sparks and Reno area where they spend the rest
of
the week.
Kind of a traveling road show, so to speak, for
pretty much.
Week.
And as it stands, as we speak, today is the final day. But if you've you've never been to a Hot August Night, you're missing out, especially if you love classic cars.
This is a pretty busy time in Reno. Hot August Night. Now, see, I'm having the same disease that afflicted you earlier. Hot August Nights.
Yep.
And I want to get a guest on next week or the following week to talk about the Burning Man Festival.
Yes.
Because we've never talked
exactly
about
who
that.
To get. Phil Cowan, formerly of Paul and Phil, a regular to Burning Man.
A regular. Yeah. I have friends who go out to Burning Man every year in the Nevada desert, and I've never been. I've seen the site. I was there a couple days before it started 1 year, but it's an acquired taste for sure. We need to get a guest and talk about it because if you don't know about Burning Man, it's a tradition that people our age have fallen into, and some people have gone there for a long time. A lot of brain cells have been lost at Burning Man.
Let's segue from Burning Man to Semi-Naked Man as we go into the travel news. Let's call on the Mark Hoffman Quartet.
Oh,
we've added a member.
We have talked about, we always kid about people going through security at the airport, and we kid about how, well, let's just go through naked. All right, so a college kid in Richmond decided that he wrote the Fourth Amendment on his chest, somebody else wrote it. So obviously this was something that was a bit planned, and he went to the airport, and when they told him to go through a body scanner, he just took off all of his clothes except for he was wearing some running shorts. And so imagine you're in line at security, and they tell a guy to go through the body scanner, and so he just simply starts disrobing. And
now we need to tell people what the Fourth Amendment's about. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. You know, that's the one that has to do with violating our
unreasonable search and seizure.
Okay.
So this was kind of a setup, and the young man, and we have a link to it at travelguysradio.com. You can scroll down there and see. But anyway,
his picture.
Well, yes, him standing there in his running shorts, all cute and everything, except that it to me, this is just an example of how hard it is to work for the TSA, because you don't know who is coming to the airport.
This is crazy stuff.
I mean, it's just goofy. All right, yeah. So should John Denver get a mountain named after him in Colorado? That's a plan, according to some people in the state. The Associated Press reports that thousands of state residents have so far signed a petition to honor the Rocky Mountain High singer by naming a peak, which is now apparently called Mount Sopris, for him in the Central Rockies, where he wrote the hit song.
He wrote it right there on the mountain.
That to me seems like a no-brainer.
I do too. Are they going to take a public vote or something?
Maybe we should take a public vote. When folks call in and talk about cruises later today,
sure.
Be prepared to answer this question: should a mountain be named after John Denver in the Colorado Rockies? An Olympic teenager who had a little bit too much to drink. I guess if you were a teenager, a little bit too much to drink would be anything. But this gentleman had way too much to drink, and it has probably cost him his opportunity to be on the U.S. ski team.
Robert Sandy Vitese, I think it is.
Vitese,
there's
think?
A name you will not see or hear during the next Winter Olympics.
18 years old. He's 18 years old, I might emphasize. He's aboard of JetBlue flight from Portland to New York. He had, he said, 6 beers and a couple of mixed drinks. He went down the aisle to use the restroom.
He didn't make it
to the restroom, but he thought that he had. And so he ended up urinating on a passenger's leg. And so now he's not going to be part of the U.S. Olympic ski team. In decisions you make in life that you will later look back on with regret.
You know, I can tell you this. The person who was the victim, if you will, you know, they're going to expect some sort of compensation somewhere from the airlines.
I'm kind of guessing the airline has a little bit of an explanation of how they let a kid on board who had had 8 drinks, who had to be somewhat inebriated. It had to be at least 15 minutes after takeoff before the light came off, and he was able to get up and go to the restroom. So and as you said before we went on the air so adroitly, maybe he should have had better handlers.
Maybe they were spending their time weighing luggage.
Of course. Speaking of weighing luggage, airport scales are not accurate. I don't know why this surprises anybody. ABC News, in affiliation with Good Morning America, tested some scales at the Mesa Gateway Airport near Phoenix, and 4 out of 5 of them didn't pass. Scales were tested at LAX. 6 of them were inaccurate, and all of them, conveniently enough, claimed passenger bags were heavier than they actually were. At LaGuardia and Kennedy, 10% of the scales were inaccurate. What a surprise. Maybe the travel – we should get a bag that we know weighs a certain amount. And just when I start traveling, I will just start taking it with me, and we'll put it on. Okay, you got it. Remember we talked about that walk up in Toronto on the top of the CN Tower where you could go outside?
I got lightheaded just hearing about it.
Now apparently it has opened. It is 1,100 feet above ground. And get this, Tom. Trained edgewalk guys at CN Tower in Toronto encourage participants to push their personal limits, allowing them to lean back over Toronto with nothing but air and breathtaking views of Lake Ontario beneath them. The experience lasts half an hour or until your handler decides.
Until you pass out. Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, that is...
Now, I'm guessing there's a fee or a charge?
It's right in here. It's $175 Canadian.
Wow.
Which is roughly $175 U.S. currently.
All right. Speaking of walking...
Walking cities. The 10 most walkable cities in the U.S., New York, San Francisco, Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, Seattle, Washington, D.C. I agree with all of those. Miami's a little bit of a surprise. Minneapolis depends on the season. And number 10 was a shock. Oakland.
Oakland. That's not Oakland, California. There's got to be another Oakland.
No guesses. The economy is lean. Hotel foreclosures in the state are up 91%. This is only interesting because the biggest hotel to be foreclosed on in the second quarter is here in Sacramento. The 331-room Hilton Sacramento Arden West was the largest hotel in the state to get a foreclosure notice. They listed the 10 fattest and leanest states in the country. The good news is, go to travelguysradio.com if you want to see these lists, but the good news is California isn't among the 10 fattest or the 10 leanest.
You know, in behalf of the Colorado story you had a while ago, I see that Colorado is actually America's leanest state.
And the fattest, according to this survey, is Mississippi. So Mississippi, Alabama, there's some little bit of fried food there going on. Most of them are in the southern region anyway. The 9/11 Memorial opens in New York City next month on September 11th. It will open. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You're going to have visitors' passes and the like. I strongly encourage you to go online to their website. Go to Travel Guys Radio. The website is there. And you're going to need some information. Oh, there's going to be a lot of people there. And so you need, if you're going to go to the 9/11 Memorial, you want definitely to know what you're doing.
Airport. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a sports leisure vacation travel to that.
You wouldn't. Yes, you wouldn't be surprised. Clayton Whitehead, one of our road reporters, is going to be taking a group in November.
That's what I'm
so
thinking.
We are going to have a live report.
I knew it.
You know it. Sacramento Airport update. Our good friend Gina Swanky tells us that despite the congressional indecision, there is no indecision in Sacramento. The airport is going to open on time. She says they're still on track to open on October the 6th. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We traded emails this week. Tickets to the Experience B party are selling quickly. We anticipate a sellout. The public preview community day has been popular with over 1,700 people having made their reservations. You need a reservation for that. TravelGuysRadio.com will get you the website. Pretty cool. The airport is going to open on time. And then finally in the news, something you're going to need to go to the website to see this. A United pilot, believe it or not, this is a blogger who shared this story. It was on the 20th of July on United 472 from Denver to Tampa. Pilot held up a flight for 45 minutes because his meal was delivered with an entree only without a dessert or any bread.
And if you go to the TravelGuysRadio.com, Ryan has actually put the transcription, if you will, of the dialogue between the catering service and the people on board and the pilot as to exactly what he was upset about. And it's fun and interesting
reading. I think it's fascinating reading. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, you don't have to click on anything. Just scroll down past the show description and you'll see it. All right. Joining us after the break is Rob Taylor from Holland America Cruise Lines. Also, we'd like to take some of your phone calls. Have you gone cruising before? Did you go on a large ship or a small ship? Did you enjoy yourself? Particularly if you went on a small ship, what did you like about small ship cruising that was a little bit different? We have a $50 gas card to give to one of our lucky callers this afternoon between now and 3 o'clock. Our phone numbers are 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. How was your cruise experience? Tell us about it. And remember, we're going to ask you about that John Denver Mountain. We're the Travel Guys. This is News Talk, 1530 KFBK. All right. Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano. Tom, remember last week we started talking about cruises and a gentleman called, I think it was a gentleman, it could have even been a lady, it was last week, called in and asked about sailing with a child.
Right. Uh-huh.
And whether or not there was a charge. And I said I didn't know the answer to the question. And so I had my staff look into it. Spoke with Princess, Holland America, Royal Caribbean, and Carnival. None of them offer free sailing for children of any age. They are charged the rate assigned to the position they hold in a cabin, i.e., if they're the third or fourth person, they pay the third or fourth person rate. They all require that children be at least 6 months for their shorter cruises. Up to a week and a year or longer for exotic sailings. So sounds like the major cruise lines, at least, are kind of on board. Yes, kids have to pay regardless of age, if you're going on a cruise, that's for sure.
Yo-ho, yo-ho. Wait a minute. We're going to do a sailing segment. You know, I never could understand why when you go on a cruise ship, they say it's sailing and there's no sails.
Well, actually, on some cruise ships, there are sails.
Are there really?
Yes. Yes. There's a cruise line called Windstar, which actually has sails on the ships. I'm sure there are a few others too, but that's one that I've been on. So I'm not sure exactly where you're going with this, but
this is the Travel and Entertainment Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Just, you know, trying to get back into this next segment with some sort of
we've been talking about
here.
Cruises for the last 2 weeks. Last week we had some terrific calls from folks, and we're going to have an opportunity for folks to call us later on in the program. But first, we're going to talk with Rob Taylor. Rob is with Holland America Cruise Lines. Hello, Rob.
Good morning. How are you today?
Hey, thanks for joining us. We are talking with Rob because, frankly, I think that the cruise line that he works for, Holland America, is one of the finest on the high seas. I've been on a number of Holland America cruises with my clients over the years, and they have quite an impressive product. Rob, share with us a little bit about why is it that Holland America has this incredible reputation on the high seas?
Well, thank you for that lovely compliment. We are a premium mid-sized ship, so what that means to you and your clients, as well as your listeners, is that we have smaller ships than many of the other lines out there. Our average ship size is just over 1,500 passengers. So when you compare that to the 6,000-plus passenger ships sailing the seas these days, it's a pretty tiny vessel. What that means is really that higher-end service. We have, for every two guests, one staff member. We have more space per person than any other ships in our class.
And let me interrupt you just for a moment there, Rob, because
sure.
That's really an important factor. When folks are looking at cruise lines, one of the things that you can do to compare apples to apples is to compare number of passengers to number of cruise members.
There you go.
Now, you kind of need to compare within category of ship. You know, a small ship will have a different a ship that carries 50 passengers will have a very different cruise to staff a passenger to staff ratio than a ship like Rob's. But that is one of the things that really makes Holland America stand out, is that there are plenty of people to take care of you.
Perfect. And we do a great job doing so.
Holland America, actually, its history is way more extensive than some of the other cruise lines, in that Holland America has been around for a long time.
We have, actually, 137 years this year. We're one of the pioneers in the cruising industry. Started really as a shipping line from Holland to America.
There you go.
Henceforth the name Holland America.
Yeah, I can't believe that. That many years, you almost had like Christopher Columbus.
Well, and that's, Tom, that's why I tell folks that Holland America are the best sailors on the sea, because they've been doing it for, you know, they were sailors long before they were a cruise line, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Rob, Holland America now has, in recent years, has expanded to a lot of what we would call exotic destinations. My own company has picked up on one of those. Next year, we're taking a group to Southeast Asia as a rather blatant plug. Tell me a little bit about why these exotic destinations have become popular. For example, Southeast Asia is something that is creating quite a stir among our travelers.
It is. We're seeing a huge push in Asia and a lot more exotic destinations. In fact, we now sail to over 360 destinations worldwide, to all seven continents. The one you folks are looking at this coming January is a great itinerary, 14 days. We've got overnights in ports such as Hong Kong and Bangkok, opportunities to go into Ho Chi Minh City, just a phenomenal itinerary and something different than your regular ones out there.
Well, and I think that one of the things that a cruise ship can offer people, and I've always felt this way, disadvantage of a cruise ship is that you have to leave when it leaves. Your stays tend to be rather brief in the different ports of call. The advantage is that you have your own floating hotel, so you're not checking in and out of a hotel every day. You can visit an exotic city simply by walking off of the ship in many cases, and walk around town if you want to, or take transport to the center of town, take an organized tour, do something more exotic. But there are lots and lots and lots of choices. At the end of the day, you go back and you don't have to wait for your luggage to be delivered or to get your room key, because you've already got your hotel and you're already floating to your next destination.
Exactly. We love to say you unpack once and you wake up in a new city every day.
Rob, have you been to Singapore before?
I have not myself. It's on my bucket list. Hopefully within the next year or two.
I look at the pictures for the folks who are headed to Southeast Asia with us. We were looking at some of the photos the other day with Chris Galloway, who's going to be their cruise director. And Singapore is just a remarkable city. This itinerary that we have with Hong Kong and Singapore and visits to Vietnam and stuff like that. And Vietnam has become a country that is popping up on many more itineraries recently, I see, cruise itineraries, because we now have a group of people who are reaching the age where they want to go back to a place where they were 30 or 40 years ago under very different circumstances.
Well, that's a great point. We have people not only who are reaching that age who want to go back there, but also their family members who may be a little bit younger than them, who are tracing the footsteps of where their elders have been. Our average age these days is actually really changing, in that we're around the 55 mark on an average now. So it's a lot younger clientele than we used to be.
Rob, before we go here, tell me one thing about Holland America. If I'm standing before my customers and I want to tell them why they should cruise with Holland America, what really makes Holland America different from the other cruise lines?
To experience our signature of excellence, both in service, food quality, and the five-star accommodations. They're unbelievable ships, and even as a staff member, I'm really excited every time I get on board, that people go above and beyond even my expectations.
Rob Taylor, we've got your website posted on our website at travelguysradio.com. So folks who want more information on Holland America Cruises can go there. And Thomas, did you have something?
I'm convinced that this is where I would want to sail. And I'll tell you, here's the clincher, Rob. Now, I actually have my own sailboat. May I help?
No, I'm just kidding. I wish we could have you come join us. Maybe for some excursions or such.
Rob Taylor from Holland America Cruise Line, thanks for dropping in on the Travel Guys today. Appreciate it, bud.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the opportunity. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
We are the Travel Guys in Entertainment, News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Sorry for stepping over you there, Mr. Romano.
It's when okay. We come, it's all right. Didn't hurt.
Yeah, when we come back after the news, we will take your phone calls. Have you been on a large or small ship cruise recently? Would like to share a little bit with us? One of our lucky callers will win a free $50 gas card. One per caller already on the line holding. Give us a call right now, 921-1530, 1-800-834-1530. Aaron's Got the News is next.
And don't forget to like Mark on Facebook, and you can Twitter me, and later on I will be streaming on, wait a minute.
Streaming live across the street, across Arden Way.
I don't know what that stuff is.
It's how do you keep track of all of it? I have a hard enough time writing a blog once in a while, having a website. It's all goofy. Listen, speaking of websites, travelguysradio.com is where you can go and find all kinds of neat stuff, including what we were talking about before, the pilot who held up the entire transcript of him holding up an airplane for 45 minutes while he got the rest of his meal is posted right there, along with South American honeymoon tours. If you've ever thought about you're getting ready to get married, and you're thinking about where, you're going to take the lady. Why, you could take her to South America. That would be great.
Okay.
We're talking about cruises today.
And by the way, speaking of cruises, I don't know if you caught that in our last interview with Rob from Holland America. Mark at Sports Leisure Vacations putting together a 14-day cruise, 19 days all together?
19 days all
together,
yeah.
Fly to Hong Kong, Southeast Asia. I mean, this is amazing.
Chris is going to take all the folks down there. He's been on our program before, and I'm sure we'll have an update from him. But if you have an interest, why go to sportsleisure.com or give us a call. We have a nice lady who's been waiting for us on the phone here, and let me give the numbers again, 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. Have you been on a cruise ship? What cruise line do you prefer, large ship, small ship? Linda, what do you think? Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience.
Hi, Linda. Where did you go?
Alaska twice.
Mm-hmm.
Panama and Costa Rica.
And so which cruise line have you traveled with the most?
The most would be Holland America.
And is there a particular reason for that? We just had a Holland America gentleman on, but nonetheless, be objective.
We like their itineraries when we were looking at them. That was Alaska. We've also been on Royal Caribbean, Talc.
What attracts you most about cruising?
Oh, just being able to, like you said, unpack once and not deal with logistics of moving and just walk off and decide what you're going to do. The large ships, excuse me, have been like 1,500 to 1,700. They haven't been the mega cruise. And the small ones have been like 100 to 150.
Okay, so you've been on a true small ship. What do you think of that experience as opposed to going on a ship with a 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 people? How was that, in your mind, what was the advantage or disadvantage of that?
Oh, you had the feeling you were in a small place. As opposed to a large ship, you were in a gigantic building floating. On the small cruises, if you were up on the deck and you decided you wanted to picture something, you could run down one flight of stairs, get your camera, run back up, and you got to brush shoulders with, visit, talk, whatever, with most of the people, if not all of them.
Now, in regards to the sensation on board of a large ship versus a small in motion and so forth, what did you notice that was different?
Well, the small ships were in areas that were more stable.
I see. Calmer water. Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's an important, Linda, thank you so much for your call. That's a very important distinction is that if you're choosing a small ship, you want to choose a place where you've got some sheltered water.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. And we've got some more calls coming in. We want to talk to you on the phone about cruises, and we have a $50 gas card to give away to one of our callers. But first, we have a guest coming to us from the Floating Homes Tour in Sausalito.
Welcome again. You're tuned to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and I've always dreamed of having a floating home. Not the kind when the river rises too much. But the one that you put out on the lake and you have a houseboat. Absolutely. In fact, I think I could actually live on one.
And there are a lot of people who do. And we have with us as a guest on the phone, Mark Ludwig. Mark is part of the Sausalito Floating Homes Tour, which is something that has been happening every year for quite some time. My company has taken part in it in the past. And so I wanted to give you folks the opportunity to learn a little bit, for our listeners to learn a little bit about this really unique adventure. It's really a wonderful way to spend the day in the Bay Area. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Mark, you are part of this Floating Homes Tour in Sausalito. Please tell folks more about it.
Okay, well, I'm more than a part of it. I'm actually a resident of the floating homes.
Really?
There are about 400 floating homes in Sausalito, which makes it the largest floating home community in the Bay Area. Actually, the Bay Area is kind of a center for floating homes. People think of Sleepless in Seattle as the place where there are a lot of floating homes. And Tom's comment about homes on lakes is a perfectly valid one. These are homes that are pretty much fixed to docks and to infrastructure that's located in Sausalito. So we don't wander around. We don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Except up and down.
Yeah, you're not a houseboat, per se.
No, we're a floating home.
There you go.
Floating home.
Describe the difference.
Well, a houseboat has an engine, and as people commonly think of houseboats, it has an engine and it's mobile. It's sort of like a mobile home. You know, with the ability to navigate.
A houseboat could go someplace. A floating home is just going to float with the tide.
All right. Well,
exactly.
Way different. Okay.
So, Mark, you own one of these floating homes in Sausalito.
It's true.
And
I treasure it.
And once a year, your association allows folks to come and visit your home, in essence, your homes.
Yes. People are curious about these things. They wonder what life is like on a floating home. It's a different way of living. I have to say, by the way, just right at the top, the floating homes community is unique in my experience, and I've lived in quite a few cities on both coasts and in the Midwest, in that we have a common cause that is Mother Nature. So when the wind starts howling and the rain starts falling and the tides are rising perhaps higher than predicted, we've got to band together and got to take care of each other.
I would think.
So we're very tight. We work very well together. We get along really well. It's a very intimate, very friendly, very cooperative, really cohesive and unusual community in that respect.
Now, Mark, tell us about this Floating Homes Tour where folks can come and experience a little bit of what you are so passionate about.
Thank you. So on the 17th, of September, which is a Saturday, we're holding this year's tour from 11 a.m. To 4 p.m. So the cost of a tour online in advance is $35 or $40 on the tour day, although I would advise people to get in ahead of time on this because very often we are sold out. We were certainly sold out last year.
And we will remind folks that if you just go to travelguysradio.com, you can find, we'll have a link for you there. So if you're driving around town and you're trying to find a pencil while you're driving your car, don't worry about that. Just remember travelguysradio.com when you get home, and you can get the links to all of the guests who are on with us today, including the information about the Floating Homes Tour.
Mark, if folks come and do the tour and then they say, you know, this is a life for me, do they have an opportunity to hook up and maybe buy?
Yes, they do. Homes are for sale. Realtors, just as they would be selling a home, market these properties.
Mark, thank you for sharing a little bit about the Floating Homes Tour. I hope some of the folks from Sacramento will take advantage of the opportunity to go down, meet you, and some of the folks who live in homes like yours. Just spending a day in Sausalito is a wonderful excuse to get out of Sacramento. Frankly, you don't have to go over to the other side of the bay. There's everything you could possibly want right there in Marin County. And enjoy a lovely afternoon of just visiting some of the floating homes in Sausalito. We appreciate you being our guest, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.
Well, thanks very much, Mark. Can I also mention that there are a lot of other festivities, not just looking at the homes, but there's entertainment, and there's food, and there are musicians, and there's art. And it's just a great day.
So folks can truly make a day out of it in Sausalito.
Make it an event, absolutely.
All right, TravelGuysRadio.com will get you all the details. Thank you, Mark, for joining us.
Thank you, Travel Guys.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Okay, Mark, let's jump back to the phone lines now and take a couple more calls.
We've got some folks who have been patiently waiting for us here. Elizabeth is in Citrus Heights. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Mark.
Welcome to the Travel Guys. It says on the thing here, it says, has cruised with Mark before. Don't give away any secrets now.
Yeah, this is the trip coming up in January will be my third time on the Zonda.
Wow.
You're a glutton for punishment, I tell you.
No, I like that size ship. I've gone with Sports Leisure before to my first time on Holland America was Panama Canal Cruise several years ago.
And what do you particularly like about Holland America since we had that gentleman on today?
You know, I like the size of the ship. At first, my first experience was, you know, because I normally I'm a princess girl. You know, I have several cruises with princess, and I like, you know, the airiness and then the excitement and all that on the ship. But then I went to Holland America and I thought at first, well, this is different, but I like the way it's a little more subdued, and I also love the size of the ship. It's not, you're not running all over everybody.
Cool. And so what's on your bucket list in terms of destinations you'd like to visit on a cruise ship?
Well, we're going to do, Southeast Asia in January, and I'd like to go to Hawaii. I've done Hawaii on Holland America, but I'd like to go to Australia and New Zealand one of these days.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for the call.
Take care. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for listening. Christopher in Roseville is next up on the Travel Guys. Hello, Christopher.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for waiting, sir. We're talking about cruises today.
You are, and I've been on the Holland America ship three times. Right. I've been in the Eastern Mediterranean, the Alaska, and the Mexico.
Now, wait a minute, Christopher. You sound just maybe a little bit young to have been on a Holland America ship three times. That tends to appeal to a more mature clientele. So where does that
does, and that's why I called in, because I wanted to bring more of the younger side to Holland America. I'm 28 years old, and I actually cruised three times in one year when I was 26, so a couple years ago. And really it was because I was studying abroad, and I really wanted to take a cruise. And at the time, Holland America had not only the best prices that I could find, but they had an itinerary that really sort of fit my needs and what I wanted to see in the Mediterranean. And it was a 10-day cruise, and it was wonderful. So they took great care of me and got to see lots of different ports, including Corfu and Santorini in Greece, and had a great time.
And maybe we should dispel a little bit of a myth here, is that, you know, Holland America is not a ship for people who are, you know, about to die at sea. It's just a ship for people who are a little bit more mature and may not have, you know, kids that they have to take care of underneath, or someone like yourself who doesn't necessarily want kids underneath when you're trying to, because the advantage of a cruise ship is indeed you have a floating hotel. You can see a lot of places in a short period of time, just not very many. You're not going to be there for a great deal of time, but you can see a lot of places and decide what you want to put on your list to go back.
Exactly. And I think one of the big benefits of cruising with Holland, it is the only ship I've been on, but one of the big benefits that I found was that there were less people, but also the big thing with Holland is they have a wonderful spa. And I like to go, and just because I'm a guy, you know, I still like to be pampered. You know, it's fun. We have a good time. And they have, I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's the pool where the bubbles shoot up from the bottom.
I'm almost afraid. I think
It's a spa. I don't know.
Yes. Well, I've been in a pool where the bubbles shut up. Never mind. Christopher, yes. Thank you for that test, that Holland and America testimonial, approving that Holland and America ships are for people of all ages.
There you go. My 26-year-old nephew, whose birthday is today, is taking his second cruise in October.
Really?
So
wow.
Young people like to do
so
that.
There you go. All right. Let's take a break and then come back. We have got Rihanna, who is with us to talk about the state of the arts in Sacramento. We are the travel and entertainment guys.
Yes, and Mark has the Traveler's Update from Sports Leisure Vacation ahead as well.
We're going places with that Sports Leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
This is your Sports Leisure Travel Club update for Sunday, August the 14th. Let's do things a little bit different this time. Our lucky Travel Club members for today are Adine Levette and Hannelore Sangmeister. Adine Levette and Hannelore Sangmeister. If you are listening today, you have until the close of business Tuesday to call the Sports Leisure Vacations office and claim $100 in travel cash. If you are a mature or single traveler who enjoys the company of traveling in a small group, you should attend Sports Leisure Vacations annual tour preview day, Saturday, August 27th at the Marriott Hotel. Admission is $5 and you'll have the opportunity to learn about upcoming trips and get an advanced copy of our new 2012 tour catalog, Around the Corner, Around the World. I guess a 1912 catalog wouldn't be of that much use to people. For reservations, call the Sports Leisure office Monday at 361-8687 or go online right now at sportsleisure.com. Space is still available for the 4:15 show only at this time. You can even ride a free shuttle bus from selected locations. If you have visitors from out of town looking to get away for the day, Sports Leisure has space on a variety of day trips over the next month. Visit our website or call for details. Be Italian for a day. See the cathedrals of San Francisco. See Bill Cosby or Howie Mandel live. Details on all those and more at sportsleisure.com. Click on day trips. And, oh, I should also mention we have an incredible, if you ever wanted to see the Albuquerque balloons, they have an incredible festival down there every October. We are taking a group to see the Albuquerque balloons. Scott Angeletti is taking that group, a gentleman who has been a road reporter for us before. And that is in October, and that's your Travel Club update for today.
Okay, and finally wrapping up the last part of our program, it's a little bit of entertainment news. Mark, who do we have?
Well, it is. We've got Raina is with us, and she has joined us today to talk a little bit about the state of the arts in Sacramento. We've been a little bit, more than a little bit, concerned because of the fact that, this has been a tough time for arts people in Sacramento. And Raina has joined us here today and tells us that the state of the arts in Sacramento is a little bit better maybe than people might have thought.
Arts exist. The arts are strong no matter what. And what you see on our aggregate of our nonprofit arts organizations, attendance is only down about 5%.
So people are still supporting the arts.
People are going. People are going. They're a little pickier about what they're going, but good programming, people really are going. And what you also see is a lot of really interesting informal arts groups doing things, you know, on a more scrappy level. So there's a lot of new arts groups forming.
Now, you mentioned to me off the air that I said something about small, this perhaps impacting the economy, impacting small theaters even more, and you disagreed with me, saying that smaller venues that have perhaps lower overhead, a smaller nut to crack, are maybe in a little bit better position than some of the larger
That's
arts
correct.
Groups in town.
That's correct. And it's not just here in Sacramento. This is national. It's the large groups that are the most vulnerable. You know, they've been around a long time. They have a large overhead. They have a big budget. And they're the ones that are most at risk. I think here in Sacramento, our large arts groups are really doing, have an incredibly innovative approach to staying alive and staying strong and keeping true to their mission.
Now, part of your mission is to kind of spread the love around and to decide who's worthy of the love and who's not, perhaps?
Well, when I say we've been cut by about 65% in 4 years, the biggest hit has gone to re-granting dollars. So, as an arts commission, we are of the city and the county. And the reason why the city and the county wants a public arm for the arts is they understand that the arts stimulate the economy, create jobs, keep small businesses going. Our major art sector, about $100 million in the Sacramento region. So it's a major force, major business, to say nothing of all the services the arts provide to youth and disadvantaged populations.
Raina, what would you say to people who say, ah, Sacramento, I go to San Francisco to see shows, to see that Sacramento's minor league? What would you say to somebody?
There's people from the Bay Area that come here to see our art. They come on Second Saturday. They come because of the French Film Festival, the Gay Film Festival.
Show me a venue in the San Francisco area that's as nice as the Mondavi Center.
Right. And you know what else is really important to remember? Think about major construction projects in the last couple of years. Crocker Art Museum, Three Stages in Folsom. These are the arts are major, they're alive.
And so earlier this summer, there was a big fundraiser.
Yes.
At Muriel Johnson's house.
Right.
And so what is ongoing with the arts this summer? What's kind of in the hopper? What are you working on that is keeping the arts community vibrant in Sacramento?
The fundraiser was the first of its kind. Muriel Johnson, former supervisor and former co-founder of the Arts Commission,
invited people to her home.
Right, for a fundraiser for SMAC, for the Arts Commission, that would then go completely towards the fund for nonprofit arts organizations to supplement public cuts.
SMAC, Sacramento Metropolitan Art Commission.
Yes, that's okay. Right. So that this is really important. We have Councilmember Fong doing another fundraiser for us in October, where all the proceeds from that will go directly to the Fund for Nonprofit Arts Organizations. So you're seeing community people step up, a lot more public-private partnerships. But when you ask what's the most exciting thing going on, it has to be the airport. We are doing a huge public art program, and that airport opens October 1st.
The travel guys are all over it, have been.
And, you know, not only is it an incredible building that has such a great story to it, with its hearkening to trees and bringing the outside in and just all these beautiful elements, but it has a lot of great public art that really complement and enhance the building's features. So that is really exciting, and I think you're going to see a lot going on there this fall, a lot of
much
interest.
Buzz already about the Red Rabbit.
The giant rabbit.
You will hear much more buzz in the future. Folks can go to travelguysradio.com, and they can get information on the Metropolitan Arts Commission website. Folks obviously can donate, but more to the point is you can support the arts by participating.
Right. Go see what's going on. There's just – you go to our site, Sacramento365, .com. We have 700 events listed at any time. Go see what's going on. See what you want to take your mom to or your girlfriend to, and go have a great night out and support the arts, and then go out to eat afterwards.
And if people are looking to save a buck, dollars are tight. Entertainment and arts programs here in Sacramento are extremely reasonable.
Absolutely.
Yes, they are.
Absolutely. Raina, thank you very much for your time today.
Mark,
thanks for coming in and giving us an update on the arts in Sacramento. And we'll all just keep on plugging.
We will.
All right.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Don't you forget it, right here on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Thanks to Raina Halperin for coming into the studio and talking with us this week about the state of the arts. Next week on the Travel Guys, family travel. If you've got the little ones at home and you have to travel with them, you'll want to listen to us. Remember, we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. An hour a week is all we ask. See you next Sunday at 2 o'clock.